God. You look awesome this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Heavenly Father, we'd just like to thank you again for allowing us all to be here in your house of worship. We just ask that you watch over each and every one of us.
Yes, God.
We ask that you let us unblock whatever walls we built up today to hinder your spirit from entering in. And we just ask that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Jesus, he never
confuses the devil is when you're sitting in the doctor's office and they come in and give you some kind of negative report, and all you do is say, Jesus. That confuses the devil because he thinks he's got you whooped at that moment, but you're shouting before the victory's even been won. You're shouting before you've even been healed. Some of you may be going through some things here this morning. You don't need to wait till you get through it and have victory. You need to be shouting in the middle of the battle. I said you need to be shouting in the middle of the battle. Hallelujah. Prophesy into your spirit that the victory has already been won. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, shout now. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise God. Donna, would you just welcome this congregation?
We're so glad you all are here today. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. You know, God is an awesome God. He's a good, good Father, and He only wants good things for us. He only gives good gifts to us, so we just need to receive everything He has for us because it will be a blessing where everything He gives us is a blessing. So we just need to be willing to receive everything He has for us.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Somebody shout amen. God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm begging, please again, and I need you. I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul, and I need you. I need you. Your forgiveness.
Your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing.
Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You haven't done so bad that he can't forgive you. You haven't messed up so royally he cannot forgive you. Hallelujah. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace this morning. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like a sound of the symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. Sing it, honey, come on. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like a sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. I don't want to abuse your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Worship him for a moment. We love you, Jesus. You're good, good Father. Get the right key. You're good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am. It's who I am. Sing that again, you're good. Who I am.
who you are, who you are, who you are.
Lord, I'm loved by you.
It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are.
Our good Father, a hand clap of praise this morning. Somebody shout Happy Father's Day to Father God. Happy Father's Day. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated for a moment. Amen. I want to ask Georgiana and Paige, they're coming up and going to do a special for us this morning. They were going to do on Easter, just a couple of months late. Got it back there. God. Hallelujah. How many know we serve a risen Savior? How many knows he's coming back? We're going to look up one day. We're going to see him coming. We won't, because we're going to be transformed that quick. Blink your eyes just one time. It says in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Amen. Think about that. That quick. Amen. He's coming back. Praise God. We want to do one more song before I get into the message this morning. And Johnny, this is for you. Amen. So we found out this is Johnny's favorite song. It's so good to have Johnny in service with us this morning. Amen. We got to meet him on one of our door-to-door visits, knocking on doors and stuff, several months ago, actually. Amen. And we're just so privileged that you're here with us today. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Amen. Come on, give him another hand clap of praise, and we'll get right into this song. Hallelujah. This is an old, old song, but it's Johnny's favorite, and I really like it, too. We used to sing it all the time. I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can't take a soul that's sin sick.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. I know a man who can. How many knows that man this morning? Praise God. I know a man who can. Praise God. God is so good. A couple of really exciting announcements to make today. First of all, if you haven't noticed, we got our new sign up by the highway. If you noticed when you came in, somebody say amen. If you didn't, look at it when you leave. Some of y'all come in and you're like this. Don't look up. Don't look sideways. Just look straight ahead. So look up when you leave today and look at our new sign next to the highway. Praise God. The storm that came through a few months ago tore out that top part, and we were able to replace our sign that we had in the middle, move it up to the top with a brand new sign. Amen. So we'll put something on the middle part a little bit later. Amen. But right now, we're so thrilled to have our new sign up. Somebody say amen. Also, we are excited to announce we're starting to put a plan together to start working with our youth. We've got a lot of youth here this morning. Out to everyone under 21 that's in this sanctuary, stand up right now. If you're under 21, don't need anybody lying. We need. Amen. Give them a really good hand. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Awesome. So here's the plan, and we'll be putting this out on paper and handing out announcements and stuff. On July, let me make sure I got these dates right, July the 16th on Thursday night, Adam, would you stand where you're at back there? And Maggie, because you're going to have to be here to help him probably. We're going to have a youth night on Thursday night the 16th outside with a little weenie roast bonfire or whatever and some volleyball, whatever we can do. We're going to get the kids together. Bring them back together, connect them. How about that? Somebody say amen. Amen. We're going to have a good time. Amen. Donna wanted to have a water gun fight, so I don't know if that's going to happen or not yet. Super soakers. Super soakers. Amen. So we'll do something on the 16th. We're going to have a good time with our young people, which we haven't been able to be around and be with since March 15th. I mean, it's been crazy. So we're looking for that. I know it's a few weeks off, but be planning that July the 16th. And we're going to be asking for some adults to come out and help us with that too. So when I ask you, please respond to that. We need to minister to our young people. And we will have a time also on the 16th that night to take time for prayer with our kids too. Amen. But we'll be outside. Everything will be outside. Won't be anything inside going on the 16th of July on Thursday night. Then on the 19th of July, is that right? Look at your dates on there. I think I got everything right. I may have the 16th wrong. 19th, is that right? On the 19th, on that Sunday morning, our super church starts back. Our children's church. Somebody say amen to that. So get ready for that. And then on the 22nd. What is the 22nd? What am I doing? What am I doing? Oh, yeah. On the 22nd, I couldn't remember what we did on the 22nd. On the 22nd is church on Wednesday night, but we are going to start one of our classes back. Actually, two of our classes. We'll have our nursery class starting back that night, and also a second class, which is going to be ages 5 through 11, I think. Is that right? And we're going to be having a teacher's meeting to discuss these things with our teachers in the next week or so. So be looking for that announcement, so we'll get our teachers together just to let you know what's going on. It's going to be some reorganization up front right now to get everybody involved. We want to have some rotation on our teachers. We're not going to start all of our classes back at one time. So you may be teaching a class that you haven't taught before. You may be in there with some kids different age than you've ever taught before. So be ready for that. But we want to get these things started back. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. And our first church dinner will be at Sammy and Patty's house in July. What was that, Sammy? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, not yet. We still cannot start the vans back at this time. So the parents, we will contact all the kids that we can. But we got a good start to a bunch of kids here this morning, a bunch of young people that are here. So we'll contact all that we can that they can be dropped off and picked up. But we can't do the vans just yet. We're waiting till after school starts, see how they're handling things. And looking at some other churches, and we're talking with other pastors about when they're going to start their van ministry back, because it's a little different than even getting on a bus. So we have to be very careful how we roll that back out. But we will be. So things are starting to roll back out. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited to bring the Word of God to a bunch of fathers today and mothers that are here. This Word today is going to be applicable actually to everybody. But we'll be talking to fathers a lot today. So once again, let's give our fathers a good hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Dennis, where are you? You're sitting at right now. Would you stand and just ask a blessing on the word to this morning? Amen, amen. I got to be very careful with the water under here. I got to put this in a different container. I've almost drank this water. It's from the Jordan River. That is not to be drank. We're using it to pour in the basket. I almost reached under and grabbed it several times. So make sure I don't grab that. If you see me having a conniption fit, you'll know I took a drink of the wrong water. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you today about first responders and being courageous. Somebody say, be courageous. We got a lot of stuff going on in our country today. We see a lot of crazy stuff happening. Every day, if you want to see anything, just turn the news on. You see something that's crazy going on. And it's something that's requiring a lot of first responders to respond. Somebody say amen. In our country, we know first responders respond to things like the Boston Marathon bombing, the Sandy Hook shooting when they had all of the kids that were killed, Columbine when that school shooting took place, Lone Oak when the school shooting took place, and of course 9/11. First responders were so instrumental in 9/11. In that horrible day, that horrible attack, we lost 343 firemen as first responders that day. We lost 37 police from the Port Authority. We lost 23 police from the New York Fire Department. We lost 8 EMTs. These were first responders that responded to that 9/11 tragedy. Amen. First responders responded like the Oklahoma City bombing and a South Carolina shooting that took place, Orlando shooting. They respond to all the riots and protests that are going on today. First responders. And sometimes first responders come under attack. First responders sometimes can't even get to the scene because they're blocked by evil people. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Now I'm going to need you to preach with me today. Amen. Don't leave me out on that limb today. So first responders are so important to our country. Amen. Somebody say amen. Give them a good hand. Amen. They respond to hurricanes. They respond to tornadoes, earthquakes, fires, floods, tsunamis, airplane crashes, train crashes, bus crashes, any auto accident. First responders see a lot and witness a lot. Suicides. First responders witness suicides, and it really can play havoc on their nerves. And I've been there with some first responders right after they have got to a scene of a suicide. I know what it feels like. Hostage situations. So first responders respond. They run towards danger. They don't run away from it. Somebody say amen. Thank God for our first responders. I want to read one scripture today. We've been having a lot of scriptures on Wednesday night. Jacob, I give him sometimes 20 scriptures back there to type in. Today I said, I got one scripture. He looked at me like, are you kidding? Really? I could do that in my sleep. So, first responders, we're going to talk about, go to Matthew 9, 35-38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Somebody say amen. America is under attack. We know it. We see it. Whether we want to believe it or not, there are terrorists that are in our country. Some of the riots that are taking place are not people just protesting because they want to see a law change. It's people that have been planted, causing disruption to our country. They are terrorists. Everybody say terrorists. They are. So our America is under attack. We're being attacked from within. So our first responders are so important as they respond to every emergency situation. Sometimes taking fire when they pull up, it's more dangerous than ever to be a first responder, being shot at, being things thrown at them. But we as Christians must be spiritual first responders today. I said, we as Christians must be spiritual first responders today. As Satan and all of his demons continue to attack the kingdom of God, our Christian values and beliefs are under attack. We must be first responders. On this Father's Day, we must have some fathers that will step up to the plate and be courageous and say, you know what, Pastor? I will be a first responder. Somebody say amen. I will be a first responder at home with my children. I'll be a first responder with my wife, with my co-workers. I will be a first responder to my church family, to the one lost on the way going to hell. I will be a first responder to the hungry, to the ones that are in need of a healing. This Father's Day, God is looking for some courageous men and women to step up and say, you know what? I will be a first responder. Somebody say amen. With the events, the terrorist attacks, bombs, shootings, whatever, riots, things that are happening all around us, every part of the world, France, California, Boston, South Carolina, wherever, Atlanta, Florida, New York, Seattle, Minneapolis, everywhere we see there's problems and attacks going on with earthquakes and hurricanes and floods and fires and tornadoes and volcanoes erupting. All of these things are pointing towards the return of Jesus Christ. Everybody say, he's coming back. All of these things are pointing towards the return of Jesus Christ. In the end times, in the last days, we're going to have these times. We're going to witness these things. There will be more earthquakes. There will be more things happening. There will be signs in the heavens, signs in the stars. We're going to see things. But I'm going to tell you right now, evil is going to be unleashed on this world like never before as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ, because the devil is upset. He's mad. He knows Jesus is coming back. He knows his time is short, and he is doing everything. He is working overtime to disrupt the Christian life. Somebody say amen. But we need first responders that will step in and say, devil, I ain't going to put up with it. Yes. Somebody say amen. Amen. In the midst of all the suffering and pain and the chaos, all the attacks, we need first responders, those that will run towards danger instead of away from it. They know their duties. They know they can't sit back and watch things happen. They know they got to get involved. How do we get involved? We got to pray more than we've ever prayed before. Somebody say amen. First responders run towards danger instead of away from it to help the people in need. These first responders are the first sign of salvation to many. People will be waiting for help. People's waiting for somebody to come along and say, there's a better way for you to live. There's a better life for you. You can be a first responder to that person. You're the first sign of salvation to somebody on their way to hell. First responders. In this text today, in this verse, Jesus is calling the church to be first on the scene. The first sign of salvation is someone who's suffering, who's trapped in a lifestyle of sin. Jesus is calling his church to run into danger, to save as many as possible with the power of the gospel. Let's get real today. We live in a time when people are faced with so many things. People are faced with financial hardships, family problems, broken families, broken marriages, depression, loneliness, sickness and disease, insecure in an uncertain world of chaos, addictions of every kind. Now here, Jesus is calling us to bring the gospel to all of those hurting people in the world. Somebody say amen. And it is more of a challenge than ever to bring the good news of the gospel to hurting people in these unsure and uncertain times. But Jesus is calling us to do just that. It may right now, here this morning, we have a feeling of celebration, and really there's no problems. We're in here and we're enjoying church and we're enjoying worshiping God. It will be a time, I'm telling you, I prophesy this to you, we're coming up on a time when we're going to have to be so sold out to Jesus, because it's going to get tough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when it gets tough, the tough get going. Somebody say amen. So turn to somebody and say, we're tough. Amen. Jesus is calling for us to share the gospel to this hurting world. What we experience now, the problems we're seeing around us, is only temporary because Jesus is coming back. Amen. And he will heal the hurting forever. We've been commissioned to share with a hurting world. In Matthew 9, 35 through 38, we read, here Jesus gives us a blueprint of how to get done, how we got to get this thing done, what he's told us to do, to be there for all those hurting people. First and foremost, we must have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you just raise your hand and say, you know what? He is my Lord, he's my Savior, and I love him today. I love him today. Number one, first responders, we must, in uncertain times, tell the good news of Jesus. We must share the good news of Jesus. How do we do that? There are so many ways to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Facebook, all of the social media, Twitter. When's the last time you tweeted somebody? I always say that. Sharing the good news of Jesus. Quit putting negative things on social media. We continue to do that. We need to stop it and put positive things on social media. Share the good news of the gospel. Listen to me. We all have opinions. Quit putting your opinions on Facebook and start putting God's opinion on Facebook. Somebody say amen. That's good preaching. Amen. We can talk about Kentucky basketball. How many loves Kentucky basketball and hopes that we get it, have a season this year? How many knows we were the champions last year because nobody else was and we're claiming it? Amen. I saw somebody from Louisville. Where's Keith? I'm sorry, Keith. I saw somebody that had a Louisville shirt on. I said, aren't you? It's saddened that we got the championship. He said, what do you mean you got the championship? I said, well, take it away from us. Nobody won. We're going to claim it. Amen. We can talk Kentucky basketball. We can talk politics. And my goodness, everybody is talking politics. We can talk music and we can talk movies. But first and foremost, we need to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Tell of his saving grace. Tell of his healing power. Tell of his addiction-breaking power. Tell of his returning. I love that, what Georgiana and Paige did. Tell of his returning. Amen. Next, Jesus was moved with compassion in the scripture. When you really are moved with compassion, you feel it in your stomach. Anybody ever had a burden or you felt it's been just a burden for somebody? You feel it. When you are moved with compassion for somebody, you feel it. You feel it. Amen. I felt it so strong before. I thought, God, please take it away. Do something. I can't stand this. But when we really move with compassion, we'll become first responders. We have to move with compassion. I was moved with compassion one evening when we had a young man that was really just out of control at our youth service. And he was 11 years old. And we had to call the police. I mean, he was so out of control. And the police came, and they were going to take him home that night. And I said, can I take him home? And they said, you don't know what home he's going to. We do. It's going to probably be a volatile situation. I said, well, you can follow me, but let him ride with me. And he got in the truck, and I'll never forget. He looked at me, 11 years old, he looked at me and said, well, I might as well just kill myself. I said, why do you say that? He said, well, mom's going to yell at me when I get home. I'm going to turn out just like my dad. And I said, where is your dad? He said, he's in prison. I have no hope. And he was just so calm and talking to me, but he was hurting so much. That's why we got to get something for these young people reinstated and going again. Come on. We have a responsibility, fathers, to our families. But there's so many orphan kids out there that don't have a father. That we have a spiritual responsibility as spiritual fathers here to minister to those. You say, well, man, they're just a bunch of, it's high maintenance to have all these kids. And I know it is. And it's stressful. The main thing they're looking for is not some kind of major program that's going to impress them. What they are looking for is somebody to pour some love into them and say, no, you're not going to turn out like your dad. No, you're not going to be going to prison. No, you're not going to commit suicide. We're going to stand in the gap. We're going to be that first responder that's going to answer the call. Come on. Hallelujah. So we got to be moved with compassion. And if you cannot be moved with compassion on the story like I just told, then you need to be in the altar yourself. Did you hear me this morning? We need to be moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. He said the people of the churches are spread all over the place like sheep without a shepherd. But we need to bring these groups of people together, people that are hurting, that have no father, that have no life. Maybe they don't even have a mother. They're living with grandparents or whoever. We've got to be moved with compassion. Fathers, we've got to be moved with compassion today. I know you like to be that macho man, but you've got to have some compassion. Hallelujah. I get all messed up talking about that. I was moved with compassion when we saw the horrible news with George Floyd being killed in the streets. If that didn't move you to compassion, nothing will. We have to be moved to compassion when injustice is going on. I'm moved with compassion when people are not treated right. With businesses that were being looted and burned, people that poured their life into businesses, watched their businesses go up in flames. I was moved with compassion. But what did I do about it? I prayed. That's what we got to do. We got to pray. We got to be moved with compassion. We got to respond to hurting people. Share the love of God with them. As a first responder, we cannot turn our heads and put our heads in the sand and think everything is all right, because it's not all right. We got a lot of issues we've got to overcome. But we cannot allow the church doors to ever be shut again. Somebody say amen. Because we've got to be first responders. Hallelujah. And stand in the gap. Chapters 8 and 9 before the scripture in Matthew, the disciples, God was working with the disciples. Jesus was walking on the earth and he was healing people with leprosy. 8 different miracles in those 2 chapters. He healed somebody with leprosy. He affirmed the faith of the centurion by healing the centurion's servant. He healed many. He even healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now that takes a lot of faith. That's a good place to laugh. Somebody should have laughed right there. He cast out demons. He calmed the storm. He healed the paralyzed. He healed and raised a girl from the dead. Healed the blind and the mute. And then as a shining example of compassion to his disciples, he was saying to them, I did all of this because I care. Jesus was moved with compassion by the world's pain. He was moved with compassion for the sick, for the blind, for the demon-possessed. He was moved for compassion because of the world's sorrow. He was moved compassion for the hungry when he fed the 5,000. He was moved with compassion by the loneliness of lepers that were banished from society. See, we've got a group of people, because they don't match up to somebody's standards, people shun them. People ignore them. We started this church. I said, God, we want to minister to everybody. Everybody. God spoke to our hearts and said, if you'll take care of everybody I send you, I will send you people that everybody wants. So we do that. We minister to everyone that comes through these doors. Somebody say amen. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whatever your situation is, we want to offer you hope and a place to be restored to what God wants you to be. We have to be moved with compassion. We must be courageous first responders to the needs and the hurts of this dark world. Last, Jesus was a worker. Here is the greatest challenge we have. Listen to me, dads. We as dads, we work to provide for our family. We work to care for our house. We'll work ourselves silly to take care of our yards. We'll make our vehicle look good. We'll shine it up. We'll work on our golf game, Jeff Benson. He doesn't have to work on his. He's beating everybody he plays with. We'll work on our fishing skills. I told somebody yesterday, I'm gone fishing. They said, really? I didn't know you fished. I said, I'm on my way to Catfish Harbor. I've called an order in. They already had the news out. Pastor's gone fishing. Amen. The day that I go fishing will be the day probably the Lord's coming back, because I don't fish much. Bill Brooks is not here this morning. He keeps trying to get me to go, and one day I will. I'll go with him. Amen. But we work on all these things, but the harvest will never be reaped if we don't have some workers to reap it. That's what Jesus was saying. Not only be moved with compassion, but be a worker to go out and reap the harvest. Workers like Jesus, ready to tell the world about the good news that Jesus has saved us, delivered us, covered us with his blood. Without some courageous first responders, this confused, hurting world will never know the love of Christ. We need courageous first responders to be a friend to the fatherless, to be there for the lonely. We must have courageous first responders to go the extra mile to meet the needs of the people outside of these four walls, to run into danger if needed. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, is what Jesus said. We need courageous dads to be the first responders, sharing the good news, showing compassion, and reaping the harvest. We need courageous dads to be the spiritual heads of the family. Quit depending on the mothers to fill the gap. Come on. We need courageous dads to spend time with their children, not just working to make money to provide. Listen. Those children don't need more material things. What they need is a love from a father. They need more time with you. In these verses, Jesus did not ask us to go out and till the ground. He didn't ask us to go plow up anything. What he was asking was, everything's been done. We just need you to reap the harvest. We have planted a lot of seeds, even at this church, in the last 12 years. We have watered a lot of seeds, but we need some courageous dads that will step up to the plate like Adam said, hey, I will take care of those young people. I will come and do whatever I need to do. We need courageous dads that will step to the plate and reap the harvest. Jesus said, these are souls waiting to be harvested, but I need just a few good laborers. Let me ask you this morning, how much time are you willing to spend working for the harvest? In a few moments, I'm going to ask courageous dads to come and gather with me at the altar, and we're going to have a word of prayer. Courageous dads, it's time to be a first responder to your family. Not the mom, not the pastor, not the counselor. It's time for dads to be the first responder to your family. It's time to be first responders to those coming through these doors. It's time to be a first responder for those outside these four walls. We must let the devil know he cannot have our children or this generation or this country. And it's going to take a bunch of first responders to make that happen in Jesus' name. As a first responder, we must share the gospel with compassion, reap the harvest. How many is ready to be a first responder today? Dads, I know sometimes, especially those that have girls, how many dads here have a daughter? Amen. Here's three rules that you can read to whoever wants to date your daughter. Rule number one, if you pull in my driveway and honk, you better be delivering her pizza because you're not picking anything up. Somebody say amen. Amen. Rule number two, you better not touch my daughter in front of me. You may glance at her as long as you don't peer at anything below her neck. If you cannot keep your eyes or hands off my daughter's body, I will remove them. Amen. And rule number three. I am aware that it is considerably fashionable for boys your age to wear their trousers so loosely that they appear to be falling off their hips. Please don't take this as an insult, but you and all your friends are crazy. Still, I want to be fair and open-minded about this issue. So I propose this compromise. You may come to the door with your underwear showing and your pants 10 sizes too big, and I will not object. However, in order to ensure that your clothes do not, in fact, come off during the course of dating my daughter, I will take my electric nail gun and fasten your trousers securely to your waist. Sounds pretty fair to me, don't it? Derek is over there going, really, would you have done that to me? You're holding precious cargo right there. One on each side of you. These rules, you keep these rules. You'll apply them rules. I'm much worse. Ask Candace. She'll tell you. Who wants a copy of that? Yeah. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask Candace to come to the keyboard this morning. And I'm going to ask all the dads, if you would just gather across the front. As I finish up this morning, I want to talk to you up here just for a moment. So all the dads, if you would. And I'm gonna extend this. If you are not a dad, but you are going to be a dad one day, I want you to come also. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, Brother Austin. We got all of our dads up here, Derek. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Didn't this look good? Amen. Can you pan across that, Felicity, and just get a shot of all these dads across here? Got it? Good deal. Amen. Let me talk to you just for a moment. As a dad, number one, we must be protectors. We have to be protectors. You've got to be willing to say, hey, don't mess with my family. Don't mess with my family. As a first responder, not only to your family that you live with, your kids, your biological kids, but to the orphan kids we've talked about, you've got to be willing to step to the plate and say, don't mess with my church family. Somebody say amen. You got to be willing to say, hey, you mess with my family, I'm going to introduce you to my shotgun. It is loaded. No, don't say that. But you need to be willing to go to your knees in prayer. That's more powerful than that shotgun. Amen? Don't mess with my family. We need dads to be protectors. We need dads to be providers. To provide, of course, material things, but also to provide spiritual leadership. We are made in God's image. He has called us to be providers. His name, God's name, if we're made in His image, God's name was Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So we are made to be providers. We must also be promoters, promoting our children, pushing them, believing in them, building them up, encouraging them. I cannot stand for parents to talk down to their kids, calling them idiots and calling them all kinds of things in the middle of the store or whatever. I can't stand that. We must be promoters, building them up. We must be, dads, listen to me carefully, we must be the priest of our house. We must be the priest of our house. God intended it that way. Abraham was the father of many nations. God the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, priestly men. He is our father, so we must be priestly men. We must take control spiritually of our house, our family. Many times we let our mothers and our wives fill that gap, and I spoke of that earlier. But we as dads should take the lead role. Don't wait for your wife or whoever to come and say, we're going to have Bible study tonight with the children. You need to instigate that. And I know you're not saying amen right now, and I hope it's penetrating. But men have got to start being men in their homes. Have that prayer time with your wife, with the mother. I know it's awkward. My goodness, it's awkward still from Don and I to pray. It's hard because she I know how bad she is, and I know how good I am, and it's hard to. No, it's awkward. It's awkward because she knows all of my downfalls. So when we start praying, it's hard to get that spiritual mindset. But we just ask God, forgive us for our failures. And we pray for each other. There's nothing any more powerful than holding onto your wife's hand and praying a prayer, or them praying for you. Can somebody say amen to that? Anybody up here? Y'all have experienced that. So we must be the priest of our home. Don't wait for the wife or the mother to say, we need to pray, honey. You need to be the one to instigate that. We need dads that would pray over their families. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, we know what that says. If my people, which are called by not my name, which is us, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he said, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need men to pray. Somebody say amen. And then lastly, we need men to be prophets, to prophesy over your children, to tell them they're going to be great, to tell them they got anointing on their life, to tell them that who they are in Christ Jesus. Well, they may be acting crazy and like a kid, but you've got to prophesy over them and say, I see God moving in your life. Walk through your house. Go to your kid's bedroom and prophesy over them. We need to say, I'll be a courageous first responder, sharing the gospel, moving with compassion, and reaping the harvest. With brave men and women being first responders, answering the call, our families will be stronger. Our church will be stronger. Our city will be stronger. Our county will be stronger. Our state will be stronger, and our world will be stronger. We will be safer as men, godly men, rise up and you be the man. Amen. But all the men up here, just raise your hands, close your eyes. I'm going to pray a prayer over you. Oh, Father, I see an army of men gathered here. Father, I just ask you, God, give us courage. Let us be that courageous first responder. Let us pour into our families, God. Let us answer the call. God, every man that's here, everyone, we pray an anointing upon their life. Let them move with compassion, Father. Let them share the word of God with compassion. And Father, we ask you to answer, that they answer the call to be the ones that will reap the harvest, that will come in and work. Even if it's tiring hours, we'll work towards reaching this lost and dying world. And Father, we pray, God, that these fathers that are standing here, we pray over their families. But Father, we pray over these orphan kids that we deal with, kids that have no fathers, kids that come, Lord, seeking love. Father, we pray that these fathers will step up to the plate and say, I'll be that spiritual father to that orphan child. And God, we pray an anointing on them, a blessing on them. In Jesus' name, we love you. Say this with me. Just shout it and repeat it after me. I will. Oh, y'all, that sound like a bunch of Boy Scouts. Come on. I will. I always joke with Brian when we're talking about singing. I said, get in that opera voice, man. So we're going to say, I will. And I want you to go, I will. All right. Is that cool? I will. That sounds like a bunch of men now. Thank you. Be a protector. I will. Be a provider. I will. Be a promoter. I will. Y'all getting weaker. I will be the priest of my home. I will be a prophet, prophesying over my children. I will be a first responder, sharing the good news of the gospel with compassion, I will work to reap the harvest. In Jesus' name. Now, all you men, give the Lord a good hand clap up here real quick. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe if we have these many men being first responders, we're going to make a difference in this world. We're going to make a difference in this world. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Everyone else stand, if you would, where you're at in the sanctuary. Give these men a great hand clap. Happy Father's Day to them. Amen. Praise God. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed right now as Candace sings just for a second. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity to get back with Him, to come to Him and say, Lord, I've sinned. I need You in my life. Please forgive me. I want to live for You. Straighten my life up. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, this could be the first day of the rest of your life living a victorious life for Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place this morning, you need that kind of prayer today. Say, Pastor, I'm lost. I need Jesus. Would you just raise your hand? Raise your hand wherever you're at. You don't have to be up front, in the seats, wherever you're at. Say, I need Jesus today. He's here to meet you. He's here to meet you.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.
Yes, He is.
Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus
Christ.
Here's
what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person close to you and just ask them, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Wherever you're in the sanctuary, whether it be back in the seats or up here, turn to somebody close to you and ask them, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, how many knows we're on our way to heaven? But we are still here on this earth. We can't just pack our bags and sit on our suitcases waiting for Jesus to return. We've got to be about our Father's business. We've laid out a blueprint of what we need to do today. But I believe we're looking at a courageous bunch, not only men up here. We have a courageous congregation that's willing and ready to reap the harvest. So let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, happy Father's Day, men. You guys look awesome. What an army of men we have up here. Fantastic. Praise God. I hope you enjoy your day. Have somebody take care of you. Rub your feet. It ain't going to happen today right now. Forget that. I just thought I'd throw it out there for just a.
That's all the time.
Yeah. This is your day. Enjoy it. Thank you for being in church with us this morning on Father's Day. You could have been a lot of places. You could have slept in this morning and said, well, I got an excuse. It's Father's Day. I was talking to a pastor on the way to church today, and I said, you know what? I was praying, God, whatever it takes, have men at church today. And, so he let it pour down rain, so you couldn't go play golf, you couldn't go fishing, you couldn't wash your car. He said, you know what? I got a ton of motorcycle riders in my church. You're right. They can't go riding. Amen. So may the sun come back out now and let you do everything you want to do this afternoon. Praise God. One more time. Give the Lord the biggest hand clap you can. Father, we pray a blessing over these men, over everyone in this congregation. We say, God bless them. God bless them coming. Bless them going. God bless their finances, Father. We ask you, God, as they step to the plate as first responders, God, you'll bless them with courage, with words from your word, God, that they can share the gospel with compassion, God, and reap the harvest that's out there. Stretch us out this week. Let us be more effective in this world than we've ever been. Let us have more new territory to go and win for you. So, God, we thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. And, God, we just can't give you enough praise and glory. And we say today, Happy Father's Day to you, Father God, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Amen.